Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, violence in Rathkeel in County Limerick. TD Niall Collins tells us what's going on. Has working from home worked for you? Let us know if you've cut the commute. Cows and cars, what exactly will change when the new and updated climate action plan goes to Cabinet tomorrow? Do some people like drama in their lives, or are they just high octane and emotional? Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven explain how to deal with them, and why baked ham sandwiches on Christmas Eve are the best. Broadcaster Dieran Garrahy joins us for our Christmas Food for Thought chat coming up a little bit later on. Our text number is 51551. You can also email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Now, hospital overcrowding figures soared to 760 yesterday, making them higher than at any point since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation has advised the worst hit hospitals to enact emergency protocols. Dr. Fergal Hickey is Communications Officer with the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine and is on the line. Dr. Hickey, thank you for joining us again on the programme. It was September when you warned us about this Armageddon situation emerging in Irish hospitals this winter. Is that what we're seeing now?
I think we're seeing the beginnings of it, certainly. This is December, as you know, and typically crowding gets worse in January and February. So if we've already reached, equaled that shameful record from 2 years ago in December, we can anticipate that things are going to get significantly worse.
And you've warned about bed capacity in the past. The INMO has said that non-elective surgery shouldn't be happening at the moment. But at this time of year, is that not largely stopped anyway?
Yeah, there isn't a huge amount of elective activity taking place. You know, we should have a health service that is capable of doing both elective surgery and dealing with its emergencies, but it's down to the fact that we don't have adequate bed capacity. As we've said before, Ireland has 2.8 acute hospital beds per 1,000 of the population, whereas the OECD average is 4.3. And unless we address that issue and stop talking about addressing it, unless we definitively address it, we're going to be in this situation on an ongoing basis. This is no longer a winter problem. This is now a 12-month-of-the-year problem.
Mm-hmm. The HSE's Chief Operations Officer, Damien McCallion, was speaking on Morning Ireland earlier, and he said, this is a unique position that we've never had before. He was talking about this triple wave of viruses. So RSV, COVID, 600 people or thereabouts in hospital with COVID at the moment, and 300 patients with influenza. Do you accept that it's a unique position?
I accept that there are significant factors at the moment, but we went into this without sufficient bed capacity, and this is eminently predictable. And every winter, without fail, we have a series of respiratory viruses. So this is predictable. The fact that we might have so many of them is currently a challenge, but the predictability of this isn't in doubt. And, you know, I think Damien McCallion and others need to do more than just commentating on it. They need to try and set about solving it.
Phil Nihay is quoted today in the Mirror saying that providing safe care in an overcrowded environment like we have at the moment is impossible. Impossible. Is that right?
That's correct. And I couldn't disagree with anything she said on this issue. But I think we need to not lose sight of two important facts. First of all, we know this for 15 years. So this isn't recent. We know that if you come to an emergency department that is crowded, your 14-day and 28-day mortality, and this is not people who would die anyway, but this is excess mortality, that goes up. That's a fact. We know that for 15 years. What we know more recently from a very big study from NHS England, a study, in fact, of 26.75 million people, is that if you then have to wait for hospital admission, So from the time you arrive to the time you get a hospital bed, if that is in the region of 5 to 8 hours, as opposed to what the UK target of being admitted within 4 hours is, then an additional 1 in 82 patients will die as a direct result of that. And if it exceeds 8 hours, then 2 in 82 will die as a direct result of that. And we saw a HICWA report last week basically bemoaning the fact that some people were on trolleys for 2 and 3 days. So you can imagine the multiplying effect on mortality that that causes. So this is not safe. It is highly dangerous, but it's highly dangerous for patients, but it's also highly dangerous for those looking after them, because in many cases they can't keep doing it on an ongoing basis and decide they have to leave either the profession or leave emergency medicine or emergency nursing, and that is deeply worrying.
So leaving emergency care and leaving hospital nursing, either emigrating, the younger ones, we hear about the graduates who are leaving once qualified, or going to primary care jobs?
Yeah, so in some cases they're taking early retirement, so the older nurses are taking early retirement, or else they're finding other roles within, say, primary care or other roles within the community which are less stressful. And this is a loss of hugely experienced, very valuable nurses to be replaced by people without experience. And that in turn is going to add to the lack of safety currently experienced.
Mm-hmm. Just going back, Fergal, to what you said about long waiting lists causing excess deaths, you outlined how trolley waits can cause excess death, quoting statistics from the NHS. Do we know how many excess deaths have been caused in this country directly related to these problems of overcrowding? Can that be quantified at this stage?
Well, we used a figure for many years based on the population. So the Australian, the original studies from the early 2000s came from Australia. And if you extrapolate for an Irish population, then at the time of 4.5 million, that represents something in the order of 350 excess deaths per year. The reality is that we have a bigger population than that, and we've probably a more vulnerable population. So the real figure is higher than that. So we're talking about significant numbers of people. I mean, you would imagine there would be hell to pay if 2 fully laden flights fell out of the sky in any given year. And yet that's the number of people we're losing as a direct result of emergency department crowding. And we don't ever seem to see the necessary political action to address it. I mean, it's simply unacceptable, but nothing has been done over a long period of time to address it. Now, the current minister has put some additional beds in the system, to be fair, but we need in the order of 2,000 beds, and we needed them years ago, not just now, we needed them years ago. And until and unless we actually put the requisite number of beds in the system, then you and I, Claire, are going to be talking about this on an ongoing basis. But the sad thing is that, you know, a number of our colleagues, friends and relations will have died as a direct result of this.
What about this suggestion to mobilise in the short term private beds to do what happened during COVID and start using that space, which is there and it's available?
Yeah, I think we need to use every tool available to us. So there's a lot of patients in hospital at the moment that can't leave hospital. That has become a more complicated exercise. So these are people who finished their acute care and need to be accommodated in the community. We need to push that a lot harder than has been pushed, that has been pushed up to now. And in fact, for the community services, the fact that they won't take a patient that needs to leave hospital, there's no financial disincentive for them to, you know, to essentially they're not negatively, adversely affected by doing that. So we need to move the people whose acute care is finished in hospitals into the community. But we also need to use any available capacity elsewhere. Now, the reality is that a lot of the patients that are admitted to hospital are not the kind of patients that the private sector typically looks after. But certainly some of the elective activity, the limited elective activity that is taking place, would be better probably taking place in the private sector.
Are you saying that community services that can't take people who are ready for discharge should be fined?
I'm saying that there has to be some mechanism whereby this doesn't fall back purely on the hospitals. Because the problem, of course, is that the number of patients attending emergency departments is going up all the time. We know that it's a worldwide phenomenon. Even if a proportion of those, and we only admit in the order of a quarter of the patients that any emergency department sees, so we send home three quarters of those. But a quarter of an increasingly large number results in a greater number of admissions. The problem, of course, is that our doors are open 24/7, but when they get into hospital, then they can't get out the other end, and we need to address that by whatever means. But at the moment, this falls back on the hospital, and the back pressure falls back on emergency departments, where all the problems are experienced and where the clinical risk takes place.
I'm getting some questions in about COVID. Listeners are interested to know what's happening there, because yesterday we were told there were 614 people in hospital with COVID. Now, they may not be in hospital because of COVID, but they're being treated perhaps for something else and have COVID too. What are you seeing, or what's happening with COVID admissions?
So there is a significant amount of COVID. Now, it isn't killing people in the way that the original waves of COVID did. So we don't have the same number of people in critical care, and we don't have the same number of people dying, thankfully, and a lot of that is due to immunization. But there are still people being admitted as a result of having COVID, and as you say, there are people who are admitted for other reasons who turn out to have COVID, and the management of those and making sure that they don't in turn infect other people is quite complex, and that adds to our difficulties. So at the moment we have COVID, we have a significant amount of influenza A, and we have a significant amount of RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. Now, typically, RSV tends to affect children, but a proportion of adults will get it, particularly vulnerable adults who can, ill afford to get it. So these respiratory viruses are predictable at this time of the year. And, the fact that the chief operations officer is talking about it as if it wasn't predictable is really disappointing. But I think the public need to recognise what they can do themselves. So those that are entitled to be immunised against influenza should get their immunisation. It won't necessarily stop you getting influenza, but it'll stop you getting seriously ill, which is important, and it'll stop you dying. And likewise, those that need further COVID immunisation need to get that. Again, it may not stop you. It may not stop you getting COVID, but it'll stop you ending up in the critical care unit or dying as a direct result of COVID. Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people who are under 50 who would love to get a COVID booster, but who can't. They're not entitled to,
yeah,
they're not in the
yeah,
cohort.
No, I accept that, and I suppose that comes on the basis of public health and advice from the immunisation experts. But I think that there are a large number of people who should have had COVID immunisation, but who either haven't got it or chosen not to get it. And I think that's something that they need to address. The last thing the health service currently needs is a further wave of people who don't need to be there and could potentially have avoided being there, because the situation at the moment is simply intolerable.
Intolerable. So if the HSE and the Department of Health could do one thing now that would make a difference for the remainder of December and for January and February, what would you like them to do?
Well, I think they need to find a way. I mean, we're obviously not going to produce bed capacity overnight, so that's a reality. But those beds that are occupied by people who could be somewhere else, they need to really address this and actually accelerate the process of being able to discharge people into the community. This is a problem that requires many solutions, but the most significant long-term solution is the one that they've avoided doing up to now, which is essentially creating bed capacity. So at the moment, all we can do is tinker around the edges.
All right. Dr. Fergal Hickey, Communications Officer with the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine, thank you for joining us on the programme. Coming up next, we'll be getting the latest on that violence in Rathkeel in County Limerick.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.